Now, I have a saying, I teach this in many of my courses, and that is the highest authority is the Holy Spirit speaking to the human heart. So when we're talking about leadership, generational leadership, again, the highest authority is the Holy Spirit speaking to human hearts, so I have to lead in a way that empowers people to hear God in their hearts, be led by the Spirit. Number 11, part of the responsibility of leadership is to give people the responsibility of hearing God. And so leadership doesn't just hear God, the leadership also gives people the responsibility of hearing God, each doing their part. And then number 12, a word from a new covenant prophet should activate the voice of the Holy Spirit within the heart of an individual they prophesy to. So if a prophet comes and says, this is what God says, you have to do this, and if you don't do this, you're going to die. Probably you might say it's a good day to die because that prophet is an old covenant thinker at least. Maybe even worse, but he's at least an old covenant thinker. I believe that prophetically I can hear God for people, but then I have to lead them to the place where I heard so that they hear what I hear. As a pastor, I can pastor people, but I got to lead them to the place where they hear what I hear, because the Holy Spirit is the highest form of communication. They have to hear God in their heart or it's not faith. Number 13, abuse means to move away from use. So the definition of abuse is no use or wrong use. Sometimes we avoid use because of wrong use. I've come out of lots of controlling situations in my life concerning church government, church governing. When governing became government instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to be the government. And there were abuses of control and manipulation. Sometimes I've seen headship control. I've even controlled his headship. Sometimes I've seen the body manipulate the head, and I've manipulated the head. I've made my errors. And when those things happen, sometimes we run away from what should happen because we're afraid of what could happen again. And so then we decide not to have any use, and that's a form of abuse also. It's even worse than wrong use. It's not even an attempt to have use, so it's wrong. It's no use. That's abuse. So God must be the center of everything, and he must encompass everything. So we're looking for use where God is the center, and God encompasses everything. So proper use then is like this. Number 15, godly oversight is not control. It is learning to submit one to another in the fear of the Lord in order to manifest the oversight of the chief shepherd, Jesus. Number 16, godly authority does not carry the element of domination. There can be dominion without domination. I know that's technically on words. I'm not a teacher, so I'm not so word sensitive as I am maybe more poetic sensitive. And so I'm saying authority doesn't dominate or try to control. But true dominion doesn't dominate. True dominion activates, facilitates, releases. True dominion crumbles lies with truth. So godly authority does not carry an element of domination like control. Number 17, authority is an element of the order of things, and thus it is relational. So in other words, in authority there is an above and there is a below. All right, so now, my cup. I'll use my coffee cup, which right now is technically Robish tea. And so this tea cup that's in this coffee cup, tea, I want to drink this tea. So the cup is in the right location for me to reach out to it. So my hand willingly responds to my thought. It went all the way through my body. The hand went and grabbed the handle, and it brought it to my mouth. Now, this cup has the authority of tea. It has the ability to give me the life of tea. Now, I'm going to have to position this cup in a way that it's over my lips, not under my lips. It's going to have to be above, not beneath. I'm going to have to willingly lift up my hand. I'm going to have to willingly put my lips underneath it. I'm going to have to willingly tip it in the direction of my mouth. And I'm going to have to willingly receive what's over, what's higher than my lips. Then my mouth is going to receive it. And it's going to have to willingly swallow it. See, there's an order of things. There are things that are above and the things that are below. Now, I'm not going to allow this cup to always be above me because I want to talk to you. So I'm going to take the hand. I'm going to put the cup down. Now there's an order of things, a submission one to another. You see how that works? It has nothing to do with value. It has to do with the ability to give life, to receive life, to be life. So authority is an element of the order of things, and thus it is relational. Number 18, divine order is the divinely arranged assembly of individual parts of Christ's body in a collective whole. In other words, God puts it together in a way that allows it to function in a way that gives life to every part, and it is a body. So God's way is always leadership, but not controlling leadership. There's always going to be above and below. There's always going to be below and above. But God's leaders. So if I'm the pastor of a church, I am over the church. If I have a leadership team, I am over the leadership team. Now, I'm not over to make all the decisions or hear all the thoughts. I'm over to have the responsibility that all the decisions are going to be made. I'm over so that I can be under the bigger picture, like we talked about those five levels, apostolic, prophetic, episcopos, presbytery, congregation. There's an over, but it's never controlling. It's for the function of things so that we can be life according to the will of God. Now, I have another little illustration there, and it's a spear. It could be an arrow or a spear, and I think this illustrates it pretty well. And so you'll notice there's a handle there, and that's called the members of the congregation make up the weight of the shaft or the handle there of that spear or the shaft of an arrow. And God has his hand on that shaft of the body, and he wants to thrust it forward according to his purpose. But to make this thing effective, notice over on the right end there, there's a head and there's a point. So that one point on the very end, it would be like your episcopos, your sent leader. One point leads, articulates clear vision and direction for the corporate purpose of the congregation. Now, if we took that little point on the edge of that spear or that arrow, that little point, it's nothing by itself. It could be dangerous. You could step on it because it's not connected to anything. It's sharp and it could cause wounds and injury. So we don't just want a point who's always trying to make a point. We want a point that can pierce through before the rest of the blade and the shaft. Now notice next to the point there is a leadership team. That's the blade. See how it goes back? It has the heart of God, the heart of the leader is connected to the point. So the point is the focus. The blade is what allows that to cut through. Each of those on the leadership team are individual leaders in their God-graced position behind the lead and the visionary leader. So they're seeing what he sees, but they're seeing it through how he sees it. So when he sees it, or she sees it, they're saying, this is what I see. They don't say, well, I'm not sure. I don't see that. I don't see that. They're saying, okay, you see that. They're making themselves now available. God, show me what he or she is seeing. Show us what he's seeing. Now, well, I'm not sure that's what that's seeing. Because if the presbytery, those blade edge, want to see at an equal level as that point, what you're going to do is you're going to get two visions or three visions. That's called divergence. Vision, more points. And then pretty soon you got a team that everybody's trying to make their point. And nobody is getting the point. So there's a point. Then there's the blade that are the sharp edges that aren't arguing with the point. They're saying, okay, we hear you. God, speak to us. Because they have to do it in faith. God, show us how this is. Not debating over whether it is, but receiving, yes, it is. Now, how is it? Show us, God. Show us, God. And if God is saying it, faith will happen. Faith will happen. And then the congregation is also connected to that blade and that point. The blade and the point are saying, this is the direction we're going. And the congregation said, we're joined. Our heart is knit with yours. The heart and the shaft is the same as the heart and the blade. And so it's going forward. But you know what? The point isn't leading it. The blade isn't leading it. The shaft isn't pushing it. The hand of God is on it, throwing it. But there has to be an eye of focus. Okay, I'm an archer. I shoot arrows. And one of the things I do in the arrows, I have my eye has to look at the target. And whatever my eye is looking at is where the point is going to hit. If I move my eye away before the arrow hits, it's going to miss. My hand is going to move in some way. Something's going to go off. And so what keeps the hand steady, what keeps everything right is my eye. I have to look at the point. And so I, as the archer, I, as the one who's shooting the arrow, seeing, I'm the visionary, I keep my eye on the point, and then I'm trusting that everything is going to follow. Well, this illustration works for us as part of an expression of the body of Christ. So authority then is this. Point number 20, each member has authority in the function of that which God has given to them. God's anointing is given to each one in order to accomplish the grace which has been given. So each part, each member of that shaft, each part on the blade, and the point itself. Point number 21, it is given to contribute to the manifestation of the whole body and thus releases the authority of the one man, Christ, not the one man, pastor of the church, not the one man, people in the church, not the will of the people, not the will of a man, but the will of God, the man Christ, of whom we share equal corporate authority. Our individual authorities are different. Our corporate authority is equal. We are the body of Christ. Number 22, there are various levels of authority in the body of Christ. So each one does their part. Nobody's equal. Everybody's equal in value, but nobody's equal in function. Everybody's different in function for the corporate equal authority and purpose. Number 23, more authority doesn't make you more valuable. It simply makes you more responsible. So you don't want to be responsible for things you don't have the ability to be responsible for. If you get your identity out of your responsibilities, what you do, then you need to grow in maturity, because that's a disqualifier for you in being someone who is a governor serving the government of God, the body of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit working in people's lives. Number 24, authority does not come merely from position, it comes from responsibility given. This can be explained in this expression. Paul, an apostle, is function versus the Apostle Paul title. Proper authority is seen, Paul, an apostle. Paul never said, Paul the apostle, or Peter the apostle. He said, Peter, an apostle. He himself was referred to, Paul, an apostle. I'm not the apostle Ted, and I'm only Ted, an apostle, to a few, the ones I have been sent to. I'm not the apostle Ted. That would be title. That would be position. Unfortunately, church hierarchy and history in the past, abuses, wrong uses, have caused us to define these things wrong. And so this has caused there to be dysfunction in the body of Christ. Now, a godly authority doesn't carry with it the power of subjection. It carries the true power of anointing and thus draws others to yield to its direction. And so it is what it is. Authority is what it is. This tea has the authority of tea. Why? That was tea. If it was coffee, it would have been different. So, godly authority does not carry with it the power of subjection. It carries true power of anointing and draws others to yield. 26, although elders have authority over the church, godly authority chooses not to use that authority in a way of subjection or control. An example here is in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, where Paul writes in verse 7 of chapter 3, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. In other words, as leaders, we weren't disorderly. We set an example of what you should be, not disorderly. Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but we worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. In other words, we weren't afraid to work. We did our part. Not because we don't have the authority. Truth is, you should take care of us so that we can spend our time in the Word and in prayer to help you, to equip you, to help you move forward. But we don't want to be a burden to anybody, so we're willing to do whatever it takes. Not that we don't have the authority to even command that, if necessary. But we did it so that we could make ourselves an example on how you should follow us. Now, Timothy, an apostle and leader in Ephesus, had the authority to charge, the Greek word, paragelo, to transmit a message, to charge, a command, that they teach no other doctrine, no other way of life. The purpose of the commandment, however, was love and a pure heart from a good conscience and from sincere faith. And so it wasn't control, it was from love and a pure heart. Greek words there are the word hupotasso, means to be under. The word epitasso means to be over, simply the order of things, like my hand is under my chin to come under and to scratch my chin. My body parts are under and over. It's the arrangement of things. Hupotasso and epitasso do not equate to the value of things. They simply equate to the order of things. The word authority, exousia, is the not the most common understanding of authority, but it's the most common word for authority. It simply means it is what it is, and it's given for edification and not for destruction. So it is what it is. You are who you are for the sake of bringing life to others. The word overseers or episcopos have authority over, epitasso, set apart ones, saints. This does not equate to their value. It simply equates to function and responsibility so that we can function and be the body of Christ. So authority is given to overseers or episcopos. Is not authority to have dominion, to rule or have supreme authority over saints. It's the authority given to function as fellow workers for their joy. As we each fulfill our role according to the grace given to us by God, we will maintain the Lord Jesus as the head of the body. So hopefully this encourages a little bit about the government of God. These things are non-negotiables in my life. And I'm growing to understand those in my 45 plus years of walking in relationship and having now for many, many decades have embraced my responsibility as a leader and equipper to the body of Christ.